This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome to the show. My name is Bill Matthews. Got a little frog in my throat. I do apologize about that. I don't know what's going on.
That would be a big
change
frog.
Of the weather.
Yeah.
No change. Yeah, right. But that's Mark Cox right there. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bo. Just been enjoying this weather this week, getting the grandkids out to the park, and took my grandson fishing the other day, and he caught a big old catfish. He was very happy.
You know what? Because you went a couple of weeks ago, and you had mentioned it on the show, and we didn't get to tell the story. So is his fishing prowess getting more like grandpa?
No, he's not the big fish yet. He's still the little fish, if that's what you're asking. No, we went to a little park out in St. Charles County off Kisker Road, and I think it's called Liberty Park, and put a line in the water, and the little fish kept stealing our bait. We were fishing with hot dogs, which happened to be convenient. And I finally just took the bobber off the thing and threw it as far out in the lake as I could. And the next thing you know, we had a couple pound catfish on the end of it. So
no way.
He was pretty excited about that. I let him reel it almost all the way in, and then of course I had to land it. But
was it on a Snoopy pole?
He does have his own little fishing pole. He got it for his third birthday, and it like telescopes, so it's almost a full size fishing pole, but it telescopes, and then he had his little reel on there. So, kid size,
like the old Papil pocket fisherman. Remember that thing?
Oh, I loved those. I had one of those. I don't know whatever happened to it, but I did have one.
Yeah, it's stored in your glove box or whatever, and you can just fish anywhere you want to.
I know, it was convenient. People just don't carry things like that around with them anymore, right?
Yeah, I of course we get into Instagram reels, and my wife, she makes fun. She goes, "Is it R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L? Is it real? Is it?" But it was a contraption. It was a fishing, a fishing gadget. And what it was he had a reel on his wrist, like you would have on, you know, like a watch. But you had a reel on your wrist, and you had a slingshot, and so you shoot the line. And man, the cast goes, you know, way further than just, you know, slinging a stick.
I'll bet.
You shoot this, it was so cool. And I thought, now that's leveling up on the Popeil pocket fisherman gig.
That's true. You know, I got back from Alaska a couple weeks ago, and we've talked about that trip. It was fantastic on the Kenai River just outside of Alaska. But this week, I noticed on Facebook, I have a good friend, Stan, and his buddy, Barry, who went up there, and they went halibut fishing out in the ocean. And now that's something I've decided I've got to add to my bucket list. Because just for the halibut, if nothing else. But just the pictures of them on this boat with these fish that were as long as their leg. I mean, they had they caught dozens of them. I couldn't believe how many fish they had on this boat. Now, the picture they showed was everybody's fish. I don't know how many people were on the boat, but just the two of them took a picture with the fish. But still, I've never done that, and I would absolutely love to experience that sometime.
Man, I'll tell you, you know, the big, you know, offshore fishing excursions. I've never done it. I did whale watching out in California one time, but never did do like the marlin fishing, because I know that I'd want to have it on my wall, and it just doesn't go with anything in the house, so that ain't gonna happen. But yeah, my nephews live in Florida, and they're out offshore fishing all the time. It's such a cool experience, and we know people that have big boats that could take us out. All we gotta do is call.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Nice. Well, let's just do that then.
My buddy Jerry, he's down at the Lake of the Ozarks, but he's got a boat down there.
See, Barry, we can hook that now up. Here we are planning fishing trips right here.
You're right.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Okay, in this world of DNC, the DNC has been the talk of the town, you know, the talk of the country all week long, and the differences. But I have to tell you, voting is so important. I know you preach it. Mark, on your show, you put the voter's guide together, which is super helpful. It definitely helped me in the primary, and I thank you for that. And you will have one for the upcoming general, yeah?
I will, yes, indeed. That's
good.
Mainly because I think the big picks will be obvious, but there are five, count them, five statewide petitions. Issues that will be on the ballot, and people right. need to understand what those are before they vote. The most important one in my book is Amendment 3. That's the abortion initiative petition. Just repeat this over and over to yourself and your friends. No on 3. No on 3 if you're in the state of Missouri, because right. they want to enshrine abortion into the Missouri Constitution up until... You know, viability and what that date is floats, because scientists who can tell you if there's life on the moon or not can't seem to determine when life begins at conception here on Earth. So what right. is viability? I mean, we don't need to get into that here on our show, but it's important. So there are issues like that on the ballot, and people need to be aware of them. So I will put out a voter guide probably in mid-October, just to fill people in so they know what they're voting on when they get in there.
Well, and the reason I bring this up is because it's not top of mind for a lot of Americans. I think in our primary for Missouri, I think I saw, 28 or 35% of Missourians voted. And it was very low. It's low. I mean, you know, everybody has a voice. This is your time. You know, you can complain all you want, but you got to get to the polls to vote your heart, right? Amen. So the other day, I hear that it's the primary in Florida. And as I just mentioned, my nephews are down there. So I text them both. And I don't have a dog in that fight, but I do because they're there. I said, hey, and actually one of them has gotten into Second Amendment stuff really heavily. And you know, guns. He bought a raffle ticket from me. Hasn't won anything. But anyway.
Did I mention that?
I know, which is a sore spot.
I know.
But I text both of my nephews that are, you know, grown adults, working hard, making big money. I said, hey, did you vote today? And they said, the election's not today. I said, no, not November. I'm talking about your primary for Florida. Neither one of them knew. And these guys are smart people. And I'm making the point because so many people don't even pay attention. They just, it's noise to them. And it's sad. How do we get people out to vote? That's the whole thing.
I don't know the answer to that. And if I did, I'd be a millionaire, because you're right. 30% voter turnout is ridiculous. It should be a minimum of 70% voter turnout. These
Absolutely.
Are people who will complain about their situation, but then not go vote for people who can make a difference in that situation. And I fail to understand it. I mean, this election, it's said too many times, most important election of our lifetime. This is a defining election. That what our constitutional republic is on the ballot this November. It is a constitutional Julius. Republic. You either need people who respect the Constitution and want to follow what our founders envisioned for this country, or don't. And it's a very simple choice. I've listened to the DNC, and I heard a. There's a guy on CNN, his name is Scott Jennings, who is on Mark Reardon's show pretty regularly. And he said, listen, I've listened to the speeches so far, and they haven't said a damn thing. And I'm quoting him there. And he went on to point out that there are no particulars. It's like, hey, we need you to vote for us, and we'll tell you what we're going to do later. They don't have a platform. Kamala Harris has given no specifics on what her plans are.
And they have the office now. Well, they have the office now to do things.
But we know what she's done in the past. And, you know, I probably should have told Carl this earlier, but I'd love for him to be able to pull up the ad that I played this week that the Trump campaign is running in some of these swing states. Because the only way to figure out what her plans are to listen to what she promised she would do back in 2020 when she ran for president, when she only got 2% of the vote of the Democratic vote in the primary.
Oh, you mean this ad, lost. Mark?
Yes, this ad right here, Carl, please.
Yeah, I am radical. We need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously. As president of the United States, I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of them.
But would you support changing the dietary guidelines?
Yes.
You know, the food pyramid. But people
are
to reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Wow.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Where do you stand on defund the police?
This whole movement is about rightly saying we need to take a look at these budgets.
Harris asserted that ICE is perceived as the modern day Ku Klux Klan.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me? I see no parallel.
I'm not finished.
I see none.
And yeah, I am radical. We need to get radical about what we are doing.
That's it, Bo.
Is she finished? I love when she says, I'm not finished. I'm not finished.
No, she's finished. Those are the policies she endorsed full-throated in 2020. And
literally straight from her mouth.
From
her
mouth.
She is saying these words.
And why would we believe for a moment that she's changed on any of that? She wants government-run health care. She wants a gun buyback program. Now, how can the government buy back a gun it didn't sell me to begin with? There's a different word for that. It's called confiscation. There's a stark contrast between these candidates. You've got one that trusts the Supreme Court to interpret the United States Constitution. You've got another that wants to suspend the rules and end the filibuster in the Senate so they can stack the Supreme Court so they can ignore the Constitution.
That's right.
That is the stark difference that's at stake here in this election. And you can listen to the speech Kamala Harris gave this week. It's frightening, the lack of detail, but we already know what she'll do if she becomes president of the United States.
You know, I mentioned the voting thing as being so important, and that's why we are talking about it. But Matt Gaetz down in Florida, he took on Kevin McCarthy's handpicked opponent, and it was a slaughter. Gaetz won 72.6% over 27.4%. And the thing that the number I want to see is how many people voted, what percentage of that state. And it's so little, you've got to get that conversation. Matter of fact, I was getting an oil change the other day, and I ran into a guy, never knew the guy before, and politics came up. And as I was leaving the office after I paid my bill, I was like, hey, don't forget to vote. He goes, hey, I'm on it, brother. I'm on it. You got to keep it out there for people to understand that this vote is truly going to be life-changing.
Well, back to the gun confiscation issue for a minute. They're trying this in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker has tried it in Illinois. Now, there are enough patriots in Illinois that most of them ignored the law that he put into it, that he forced through the legislature, didn't take much force, and signed to ban ARs and a whole other list of American sporting rifles, right? And guns with the large capacity magazines. And people said no. They declined. I mean, I think the percentage of people that actually ended up registering their weapons was 2 or 3%.
2%.
And the vast majority said, no, I'm not doing that. And if you think you've seen any sort of a Tea Party revolution in this country, if you come and try to confiscate people's guns through buybacks or whatever you want to call it, then you're going to see the rubber hit the road. So
Yeah. That's right. And I will say this. I don't know which reporter asked Donald Trump this, but they said, do you want the AR-15 banned because that's the firearm that shot you? He goes, absolutely not.
No,
and I was like,
no, he's never going to stand for that, for sure.
Love it.
Hey, wow. Coming up, if you love the great outdoors, part of what this show's about, we're going to talk about a couple of great things that are coming up. One, have you ever really explored the vast Mississippi River? There's a new book out called The Wild Mississippi. We're going to talk to the author when we come back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Alongside Mark Cox, my name is Bo Matthews, and we continue the program. I do love, it is Second Amendment, and it's so important that we have that in our Constitution to protect the First Amendment. But this show also features the great outdoors, and we have a guest on now, Dean Klinkenberg. He's the author of The Wild Mississippi, which is an amazing waterway in this country and beyond, and it's just amazing. And what he has done is he has put together a state-by-state guide to the river's natural wonders. So, Dean, also based out of St. Louis, welcome to the show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
What started your mission on getting this book together?
I have been a fan of the Mississippi since I was lucky enough to spend 6 years living in La Crosse, Wisconsin, as a college student. Yeah. And, boy, I got to know the river pretty well during those years. And I loved fishing and canoeing in the river and hiking around the bluffs in that area. So the river just kind of got in my blood during those years and never left.
Well, I mean, for anybody who's spent any amount of time out there, you have to have some appreciation for the power and the beauty and the length. I mean, I've talked to people who are taking the loop and they're using the river to get down to the Gulf. I mean, so where does your book start? Does it start up north and then come south? How are you tracking it here?
I cover the entire river from where it starts at Lake Itasca in northern Minnesota to where it ends at the Gulf of Mexico. And everything in between. So the book is organized into a couple main sections, and the first half of the book just describes the main ecosystems along the river, so wetlands, forests, grasslands, that kind of thing, and describes in general terms some of the life you might expect to find in each of those kinds of habitats and then how they change as the river grows bigger and it goes further south. The second half of the book is a state-by-state listing of public lands where people can go and enjoy the river for themselves.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. I grew up in Minnesota, so I was very aware of the Mississippi early on in life. And then when I came to St. Louis, I really appreciated Hannibal and Mark Twain and all of his stories. You know, there are so many stories connected to this river, although it's a huge economic vehicle, but it's also for travel. And I see you went on an American Queen steamboat trip. Did you do that? Is that right?
I did. A few years ago, I had a chance to be a guest lecturer on, I think, 3 or 4 cruises. Yep.
So you can afford to go on those. I don't know anybody that's been able to go on a river cruise. Man, those things are expensive.
They are. I got to be a guest lecturer, so I didn't have to pay for the cruise. So they paid me to be on there.
Oh, I need to write a book.
Yeah, unfortunately, the American Queen just went out of business, but there are other boats that are still cruising on the river.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, if you went on there and you lectured about it, I mean, you're on a river boat, which is how many early travelers and were introduced to the river and its advantages and its wonders, I guess you'd say, as you travel through it. How big a role does the history of these ports and all that play in your book?
I focus more on the natural history of the river in this book. There are lots of other good books that cover more of the cultural history and the American relationship, the role of the river in American history. I thought there was a gap in really going deep into the natural history of the river. So I do have a chapter on human history that covers, I don't know, 12,000 years or so. People have lived along the Mississippi for at least 12,000 years. So it's been important to us for a very long time. And it certainly played a critical role in the settlement of the middle part of the country. Beyond that, I just stuck mostly to the wildlife and plants and the ecosystem.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's been so important to so many people for so long. What is the widest, I mean, since you're the expert, what is the widest part of the Mississippi? I've always heard, you know, there's a mile long or mile wide stretch. Is that true? What is the widest part and where is it?
This is one of those questions that tends to start arguments among river rats because...
Let's go.
So it kind of depends on what you mean by widest. So on the lower part of the river, below the Twin Cities, there's an area above Clinton that is almost 3 miles wide. It's artificially wide because there is a dam, a navigation dam, that makes that river much wider than it naturally would be. North of there, Lake Pepin is about a mile and a half wide, 2 miles wide. That's the widest natural area of the river. But if you go to northern Minnesota, the river passes through several big lakes. So Lake Winnebogoshish is 11 miles wide. So
right.
That is the widest part of the river.
Yeah, I was just telling Carl, our producer, because I grew up in Minnesota, as I mentioned, the land of over 14,000 lakes, by the way. the Mille Lacs is the Angry Lake, and I was just telling him, you can't even see across it. It's so huge. There are ocean-type waterways that are connected to the Mississippi. You know, it's always amazing when they do a satellite shot or even, Dean, you're familiar with the area. When you look at the bluffs over in Illinois, at one point, that river was that wide there, and it's just amazing to see that.
Absolutely, and when the glaciers melted, there was unfathomable amounts of water that came down the Mississippi Valley that we know today. So those bluffs, as you said, were carved mostly by those glacial meltwaters 10 to 12,000 years ago. And when you go further north, it's even a more dramatic scene, I think, because up in the Driftless area around La Crosse and Winona, the bluffs are about 5 miles apart, but you can see across the river valley from bluff to bluff, this deep, deep valley. All of that was carved by water as the glaciers melted a few thousand years ago.
Yeah, that's, and these are things that you may take a ride up the river road and just not realize some of this. So who's the book aimed at, Dean? Is it people who... maybe are going to do this by car, or people who are the brave spirits that are going to get on a boat and try to traverse the Mississippi?
I think you could get use out of it if you're going either way, but probably most of us are not really going to spend weeks in a boat traveling along the river. There are a handful of folks I know who have done this, and maybe someday I will too.
Yeah.
I've done a week, but that's my top end. I think it's really for people who like the river, but who really want to have a deeper understanding of what we mean by a river and what a river's natural system is really like. I just have this feeling we know a lot about the Mississippi in many ways, but sometimes I feel like what we know is pretty shallow, and we don't fully understand the complexity in the river's world, in the relationships among the different life and the different aspects of the river. And I really wanted to give people who had some interest in the Mississippi and rivers in general a chance to understand a little more deeper what those relationships are like and understand the complexities in the river.
Right. And knowing where things are, right? I mean, if you're going over here to Alton, a lot of local people might be somewhat familiar with the Grafton area and Pier Marquette and places like that. But when you get outside of their scope of knowledge on geography, that's when something would come in handy, like knowing about natural history museums or aquariums. What is your little nugget out of this? I mean, is there one in each state that is a must see if you're following the river?
I think for me, the must see, the starting point, I think, for most of us should be just go to the river and spend a couple of hours looking around and listening. Pick your spot and just pay attention to what's going around you to look a little deeper. There are some absolute gems, you know, in terms of natural beauty and in terms of the wildlife that they support. The area around Lake Pepin, I think, is really beautiful. And it's got lots of small towns with cute shops where you can spend some time in the evening. But there are so many places that are incredibly wild. And the further south you go of St. Louis, especially when you get south of when you get down south of Memphis, it's amazing how wild that part of the river is. There are no river towns. There are no bridges for 70 some miles. And you can feel remarkably disconnected from the rest of the world when you're out on the river in those parts of Mississippi. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so vast and big. I mean, all of the different areas that are just, you go miles and miles without anything in between. Dean Klinkenberg is the author of The Wild Mississippi. Of course, the publisher didn't send us a preview of the book. We just got some information, but I have to ask, is this book, does it feature photographs or, images that people will be able to enjoy when they're looking at the different, habitats of the Mississippi? And if there is pictures, who did the photographs?
So I think people will be very pleased when they see this book, and I try to do a little bit of a humble brag about this, but it's a full-color book. There's something like 270 photos in the book.
Nice.
And two
shot on an iPhone.
Not on an iPhone, right. And most of those I took. So there are some stock photos. It's hard to get pictures of catfish in the water and that kind of thing, so some of the wildlife photos we had to use stock photography for, but the majority of the pictures I took. So it's a heavy, thick paper stock with this beautiful full color graphs and photographs. I think people will really enjoy having the book.
Wow. So Dean, I have to ask, are you retired? Did you retire from academics, or did you choose to leave to do this, to follow your passion?
I chose to leave.
Okay.
So I kind of got tired of that world and wanted to do something different. That turns out I'm not the most well-adapted person to sit at a desk day after day. I needed to get some time out and about. And it's been a hard slog at times, but I really have had some great experiences over the past, 12, 13 years traveling along the river and getting to know it and meeting some great people.
Yeah, you mentioned river rats in one comment, and I'll tell you what, I actually knew a guy where the confluence of the Merrimack hits the Mississippi, and this old guy, I mean, he was the oldest, saltiest guy, just like on Jaws, the old guy on the ship.
Yeah.
This guy would pull in, and he would stay for like a week, get refueled, get restocked, all this stuff, and the guy just lived on the river. And actually, just in the last 6 months, I think it was, somebody sent me an email, hey, he passed away, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he rode in this like tugboat thing, houseboat for decades, up and down the river, just back and forth. It's just amazing when you talk about river rats. That is a hard life.
That's a hard life, but he probably died where he wanted to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a very good point. Well, again, the book is called The Wild Mississippi, written by our guest Dean Klinkenberg, and I'm sure you can pick it up at Amazon and anywhere else you find your books, right, Dean?
Absolutely. It's available everywhere books are sold.
Very good. Well, hey, pleasure having you on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thanks for sharing with us, and I hope people can grab the book and check it out.
Thanks very much for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah, you bet. Dean Klinkenberg there. Good to get him on here.
Just so many wonderful stories about just the river. Just go back as far as you want, like this guy did. I mean, it's just amazing. I wonder, we didn't talk about fishing of the Mississippi, which I've only done once, and a little scary because I was in too small of a boat. But I wonder if Dean knew that your nickname is Big Fish.
Oh, he probably didn't, but he would have included that in the book if he'd known that.
Yes.
I wonder if there's any fishing pictures or monster fish.
Sure I've never fished on the Mississippi, I have to say.
My grandmother lived up in Minnesota, and she said, do you want to go up to Lake Itasca? Because I grew up on Itasca Street. I'm like, oh, that's great. You can jump over the Mississippi where it starts out.
I've heard that. Yeah,
it's just like a little Superman. It's a little trickle. You're like, oh, right. I've jumped over the Mississippi.
Yeah, put that on your resume.
Yeah, no kidding. That's true. All right, coming up, there's a little more outdoor information for you. How about that? Looking to have a little bit of fun. They've got a Celtic festival coming up, and it is sort of one of a kind. Lots of guys in kilts, if you see where I'm going there. And I got to see Bo in a kilt at some point. You ever done that,
never.
Bo?
You never will.
Never?
Not,
ever?
No.
But
no.
I can picture it, though.
I have worn just a barbecue bib one time.
Oh, and your wife's still talking about that, I'm sure.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back in just a minute.
Oh, she is my dear, my darling one. Her eyes so sparkling, full of fun. No other can match the likes of her. She is my dear, my darling one. My smiling and beguiling one. I love the ground she walks upon. My darling Irish girl.
Welcome in to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I had no idea until Carl Middleman told me a minute ago there, Bo Matthews, who was singing that song.
I'm floored. I had no idea. And that's actually, he's got a nice vibrato.
He does.
And
it's from a Disney movie.
It is?
It's Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
So it's Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
What did you say? You're going to slap someone?
I don't think he said that in that movie.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Oh, my gosh. We're going off the rails. But, you know, this goes to show you how deep Carl's breadth of knowledge of music goes.
Oh, don't make the head swell any more than it already is.
Oh, thank you all, everybody. Pew, pew, everyone. Pew, pew.
Let's welcome in Jason Stanfield. He's with the VFW Celtic. I love basketball. Celtic Festival out of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Washington, Missouri, Post 2661. Jason, welcome back to the radio station. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Bo. Thank you all for having
Good
me
morning.
On.
You bet. Did you enjoy that music Carl picked out?
I did, and I was shocked to hear that was Sean Connery.
Us too.
He's got quite the voice. That's interesting.
Yeah, back in the day, he certainly did. Well, hey, you know, we've had you on before talking about this, and, boy, you guys get a fantastic turnout for this festival, and it's coming up on September 14th again out in Washington. Want to give people plenty of time to plan for it.
That is correct. It is our biggest fundraiser of the year. Last year, we raised over $38,000, which was our goal for our veterans, and we had over 2,500 people in attendance. So you're right. We have had a tremendous turnout. It's been a great success. Over the past 3 years, we've raised over $75,000 for our veterans. And, we're hoping to continue going on. Like I said, this year our goal is to raise $50,000. So if we can achieve that, that would be fantastic.
Jason Stanfield is our guest. And what can people expect when they come out to the Celtic Festival out in Washington on the 14th? I mean, what do you have on display? What can people do? Mark is shopping for a new kilt. I don't know if you have his size, but
he can definitely pick one of those up from Kilt Country, who is going to be our vendor out there. And if you are a veteran and you want your military branch tartan, I just picked up my Air Force tartan from them. They have a tremendous selection of military branch tartans. We also will have Highland Games, of course, you know, the Scottish Games where they're throwing the telephone poles, which are called cabers, around, some weighted items they'll be throwing. We'll be doing field game competitions for both adults and kids, like your three-legged race, your wheelbarrow race, things like that. We'll have a bounce house for the kids, lots of vendors, lots of food. Of course, you can't have a Celtic Fest without whiskey, wine, and beer tasting. So we've got a beer tasting. That tent was a success last year, and it is $10 for a one-hour session, and you get to get unlimited tastings from our participants.
Oh, my.
So it can turn into quite the interesting venue, for sure.
Yeah, so. I'll bet it does, particularly with all the people with their kilts on at that point, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's hilarious. We were joking earlier that we were trying to envision a Bo wearing one of those, and he said we will never see that in his lifetime.
Oh, man. Free yourself from pants prison, Bo. You got to wear a kilt, man. I'm telling you.
Hold on. I'll repeat it. I have worn only a barbecue bib one time, and that worked out pretty well for me. So maybe the kilt's up next. I don't know.
Once you experience it, you'll never go back.
You got to go commando there, Bo, when you do that.
Commando Bo.
It is traditional.
With big festivals, you have food. Let's talk about the food that's going to be featured at the event, because as fall and cool temperatures are coming back, and they will come back hard, you need to get out and spread your wings and enjoy things. And maybe people haven't never been to this. Let's tell them what they can expect when it comes to food.
Yeah, so of course, Celtic Festival, you got to have fish and chips, right? So we have partnered with our local restaurant, Big Boys Grilled Subs and Wings. So they're going to be providing our fish and chips. They'll be doing their wings, of course, some gyros, and a variety of other amazing items. We'll have some traditional Scottish hand pies, which is like a Scottish hot pocket, right? It's by Heritage Meat Pies. We'll have Wolf Pack Snacks. And, they're serving some variety of foods, too, like Choctaw Indian tacos, some dessert fry bread, and some baked goods. We're also going to have, of course, desserts with Aston Concessions. They do like fair food or traditional fair food for those who don't want to experience the traditional stuff or native to the Celtic area. And then Popabilities will be doing our kettle corn, and our local coffee vendor is Just Hanks. He'll be doing coffee and hot chocolate throughout the day.
Wow. Sounds great.
That's fun.
I think it's worth mentioning that specifically this is a celebration of Irish and Scottish culture. You're kind of blending the two, but there are differences there.
That is true. We originally, 3 years ago when we started this, we originally were going to do a Scottish festival, but we didn't want to alienate our Irish brethren. So we decided to bring in some Irish things as well, such as like in our entertainment, we have our Shamrock Irish dancers who are a fan favorite. So, yeah, you'll see some traditional Irish dancing as well.
Wow.
It's so cool. It's so cool to expose small children, because, get them off the screens for a while, get out, get some fresh air and some food and beverages, and get some culture in your life, Mark. Get some culture in your life.
Absolutely. We will also have clan tents there for our clans that, if you have a traditional family clan that you're associated with, with the McIntyres. So if you want to know about the history of your family, I believe the St. Louis Scottish folks will be there as well to kind of help you find out if you have Scottish history and heritage.
Oh, yeah, that's I know I do somewhere. I just never researched it, to be honest. Jason Stanfield, our guest. Now, Jason, refresh my memory here. Are you a first responder?
I used to be. I used to be a police officer. I was a military police officer when I was in the Air Force.
I thought we had talked about that when you were in the studio the last time. So, I appreciate what you're doing for the VFW. Such a great effort. This is on Jefferson Street in Washington, Missouri, VFW Post 2661. So go ahead and save the date for September 14th from 10 to 6. And it only costs $15 to get in. It's all a fundraiser for the veterans. The veterans first responders can get in for $10, and then kids 12 and under or 12 and to 6 are only $5. Under 6, they're free. So it's a good time to take the family out and just enjoy a great day.
Yes, it's going to be a great day. We've had tremendous success in the past. I'd like to, just to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, First Student Bus Services, DJW Properties, MFA, and a special thanks to everybody in the community that provided donations and money or services to help this be a success. It wouldn't have been a success without everyone's support. And thank you all for having me on. I appreciate that.
No. Before you go, I do want to mention again, last year, the community helped raise $38,000. The goal is 50 this year. And what are you doing with those monies for our veterans, if you don't mind giving a couple of examples?
Sure. Yeah. So we all of our money goes to local veterans or VFW supported programs like the ROTC, the Scouts, the VFW Auxiliary, or National Home. Our big focus this year is the Veteran Service Officer Program, and that consists of 14 VFW employees who help throughout the state of Missouri who help over 400,000 veterans get access to their benefits. They cut the red tape through the VA, and they are fully funded by charitable donations and VFW membership fees. So they are a tremendous program, and we want to help all of our veterans get access to their benefits without having to deal with all the red tape.
Wow.
Good deal. Jason, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your service in the Air Force. My dad is a 47-year vet with the Air Force, so I'm an Air Force brat. But thanks for your service, and thanks for all you're doing. And for information, if you want to find out and get your family out to this, what website can they get more information?
So they can check us out at VFWCelticFest.com. They can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at 2024 VFW Celtic Festival and our Facebook page, VFW Post 2661, Washington, Missouri, and they will stay up to date on all the events.
Jason, good luck to you, man. Yep, thank you.
Sounds like a good time, Jason. Yep, thanks for giving us some time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, have a great day.
Yep, we'll see you. All right, good. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, more of the outdoors. You got to have some of the great outdoors.
Yeah, no kidding. So we were talking about Sean Connery earlier, and is that Highlander? The Highlander he was in, Carl?
Yeah,
it was, wasn't it?
It's where they cut everybody's heads off, and you get the spirit. There can be only one.
And the guy lives forever, and he outlives all of his wives.
I'm putting it on my list.
Christopher Lambert.
Yes, Chris Lambert.
And the first movie is all Queen music.
Oh, I didn't know.
And then the second movie kind of forgets that the first movie exists.
yeah, this is true.
It's one of those movies.
Well, if I'm near a TV and that comes on, I'm watching it. I loved that movie. That was fantastic.
I got it on my list. Absolutely. Yeah.
Highlanders, and then there are like 10 other ones, and there was a TV series too. There can only be one. But 50 movies.
Yeah, true. That's very true. All right. Well, I hope you can get out and enjoy that on the 14th of September and enjoy the beautiful stretch of weather. Maybe we'll get some more of that weather like we had back in the middle of the week when we woke up and it was 59 degrees. I don't think we're going to get that weekend for a while, are we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. All right. Share the show. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. And
see you, boys.
Oh, she is my dear, my darling one, her eyes so sparkling full of fun, no other can match the likes of her. She is my dear, my darling one, my smiling and beguiling one. I love the ground she walks upon, my darling Irish girl. One, her eyes so sparkling full of fun, no other can match the likes of her. She is my dear, my darling one, my smiling and beguiling one. I love the ground she walks upon, my darling Irish girl.
Welcome in to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I had no idea until Carl Middleman told me a minute ago there, Bo Matthews, who was singing that song.
I'm floored. I had no idea. And that's actually, he's got a nice vibrato.
He does.
And
it's from a Disney movie.
It is.
It's Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
So it's Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
What did you say? You're going to slap someone?
I don't think he said that in that movie.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Oh, my gosh. We're going off the rails, but you know, this just goes to show you how deep Carl's breadth of knowledge of music goes.
Oh, don't make the head swell any more than it already is.
Thank you all, everybody. Pew, pew, everyone. Pew, pew.
Let's welcome in Jason Stanfield. He's with the VFW Celtic. I love basketball. Celtic Festival out of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Washington, Missouri, Post 2661. Jason, welcome back to the radio station. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Bo. Thank you all for having me on.
You bet. Did you enjoy that music Carl picked out?
I did, and I was shocked to hear that was Sean Connery.
Us too.
He's got quite the voice. That's interesting.
Yeah, back in the day, he certainly did. Well, hey, you know, we've had you on before talking about this, and boy, you guys get a fantastic turnout for this festival, and it's coming up on September 14th again out in Washington. Want to give people plenty of time to plan for it.
That is correct. It is our biggest fundraiser of the year. Last year, we raised over $38,000, which was our goal for our veterans, and we had over 2,500 people in attendance. So you're right. We have had a tremendous turnout. It's been a great success. Over the past 3 years, we've raised over $75,000 for our veterans. And, we're hoping to continue going on. Like I said, this year our goal is to raise $50,000. So if we can achieve that, that would be fantastic.
Jason Stanfield is our guest. And what can people expect when they come out to the Celtic Festival out in Washington on the 14th? I mean, what do you have on display? What can people do? Mark is shopping for a new kilt. I don't know if you have his size, but
he can definitely pick one of those up from Kilt Country, who is going to be our vendor out there. And if you are a veteran and you want your military branch tartan, I just picked up my Air Force tartan from them. They have a tremendous selection of military branch tartans. We also will have Highland Games, of course, you know, the Scottish Games where they're throwing the telephone poles, which are called cabers, around. Some weighted items they'll be throwing. We'll be doing field game competitions for both adults and kids, like your three-legged race, your wheelbarrow race, things like that. We'll have a bounce house for the kids, lots of vendors, lots of food. Of course, you can't have a Celtic Fest without whiskey, wine, and beer tasting. So we've got a beer tasting. That tent was a success last year, and it is $10 for a one-hour session, and you get to get unlimited tastings from our participants.
Oh, my.
So it can turn into quite the interesting venue, for sure.
Yeah, I'll bet it does, particularly with all the people with their kilts on at that point, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's hilarious. We were joking earlier that we were trying to envision a Bo wearing one of those, and he said we will never see that in his lifetime.
Oh, man. Free yourself from pants prison, Bo. You got to wear a kilt, man. I'm telling you.
Hold on. I'll repeat it. I have worn only a barbecue bib one time, and that worked out pretty well for me. So maybe the kilt's up next. I don't know.
Once you experience it, you'll never go back.
You got to go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you got to go commando there, Bo, when you do that.
Commando Bo.
It is traditional.
With big festivals, you have food. Let's talk about the food that's going to be featured at the event. Because, as fall and cool temperatures are coming back, and they will come back hard, you need to get out and spread your wings and enjoy things. And maybe people haven't never, been to this. Let's tell them what they can expect when it comes to food.
Yeah, so of course, Celtic Festival has got to have fish and chips, right? So we have partnered with our local restaurant, Big Boys Grilled Subs and Wings. So they're going to be providing our fish and chips. They'll be doing their wings, of course, some gyros, and a variety of other amazing items. We'll have some traditional Scottish hand pies, which is like a Scottish hot pocket, right? It's by Heritage Meat Pies. We'll have Wolf Pack Snacks. And, they're serving some variety of foods, too, like Choctaw Indian tacos, some dessert fry bread, and some baked goods. We're also going to have, of course, desserts with Aston Concessions. They do like fair food or traditional fair food for those who don't want to experience the traditional stuff or native to the Celtic area. And then Pop Abilities will be doing our kettle corn, and our local coffee vendor is Just Hanks. He'll be doing coffee and hot chocolate throughout the day.
Wow. Sounds great.
That's fun.
I think it's worth mentioning that specifically this is a celebration of Irish and Scottish culture. You're kind of blending the two, but there are differences there.
That is true. We originally, 3 years ago when we started this, we originally were going to do a Scottish festival, but we didn't want to alienate our Irish brethren. So we decided to bring in some Irish things as well, such as like in our entertainment, we have our Shamrock Irish dancers who are a fan favorite. So, yeah, you'll see some traditional Irish dancing as well.
Well,
cool. It's so cool to expose small children because, get them off the screens for a while, get out, get some fresh air and some food and beverages and get some culture in your life, Mark. Get some culture in your life.
Absolutely. We will also have clan tents there for our clans that if you have a traditional family clan that you're associated with, I'm with the McIntyre. So if you want to know about the history of your family, I believe the St. Louis Scottish folks will be there as well to kind of help you find out if you have Scottish history and heritage.
Oh, yeah. That's I know I do somewhere. I just never researched it, to be honest. Jason Stanfield, our guest. Now, Jason, refresh my memory here. Are you a first responder?
I used to be a police officer. I was a military police officer when I was in the Air Force.
I thought we had talked about that when you were in the studio the last time. So, I appreciate what you're doing for the VFW. Such a great effort. This is at on Jefferson Street in Washington, Missouri, VFW Post 2661. So go ahead and save the date for September 14th from 10 to 6. And it only costs $15 to get in. It's all a fundraiser for the veterans. The veterans first responders can get in for $10, and then kids 12 and under or 12 and to 6 are only $5. Under 6, they're free. So it's a good time to take the family out and just enjoy a great day.
Yes, it's going to be a great day. We've had tremendous success in the past. I'd like to, just to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, First Student Bus Services, DJW Properties, MFA, and a special thanks to everybody in the community that provided donations and money or services to help this be a success. It wouldn't have been a success without everyone's support. And thank you all for having me on. I appreciate that.
Of course. No. Before you go, I do want to mention again, last year, the community helped raise $38,000. The goal is 50 this year. And what are you doing with those monies for our veterans, if you don't mind giving a couple of examples?
Sure. Yeah. So we all of our money goes to local veterans or VFW supported programs like the ROTC, the Scouts, the VFW Auxiliary, or National Home. Our big focus this year is the Veteran Service Officer Program, and that consists of 14 VFW employees who help throughout the state of Missouri, who help over 400,000 veterans get access to their benefits. They cut the red tape through the VA, and they are fully funded by charitable donations and VFW membership fees. So they are a tremendous program, and we want to help all of our veterans get access to their benefits without having to deal with all the red tape.
Wow.
Good deal. Jason, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your service in the Air Force. My dad is a 47-year vet with the Air Force, so I'm an Air Force brat. But thanks for your service, and thanks for all you're doing. And for information, if you want to find out and get your family out to this, what website can they get more information?
So they can check us out at VFWCelticFest.com. They can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at 2024 VFW Celtic Festival and our Facebook page, VFW Post 2661, Washington, Missouri, and they will stay up to date on all the events.
Jason, good luck to you, man. Yep, thank you.
Sounds like a good time, Jason. Yep, thanks for giving us some time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, have a great day.
Yep, all right, good. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, more of the outdoors. You got to have some of the great outdoors.
Yeah, no kidding. So we were talking about Sean Connery earlier, and is that Highlander? The Highlander he was in, Carl?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
It's where they cut everybody's heads off and you get the spirit. There can be only one.
And the guy lives forever, and he outlives all of his wives.
I'm putting it on my list.
Christopher Lambert.
Yes, Chris Lambert.
And the first movie is all Queen music.
Oh, I didn't know.
And then the second movie kind of forgets that the first movie exists.
yeah, this is true.
It's one of those movies.
Well, if I'm near a TV and that comes on, I'm watching it. I loved that movie. That was fantastic.
I got it on my list. Absolutely. You do?
Yeah. Highlanders, and then there are like 10 other ones, and there was a TV series too. There can only be one. But 50 movies.
Yeah, true. That's very true. All right. Well, I hope you can get out and enjoy that on the 14th of September and enjoy the beautiful stretch of weather. Maybe we'll get some more of that weather like we had back in the middle of the week when we woke up and it was 59 degrees. I don't think we're going to get that weekend for a while, are we?
Absolutely. For absolutely. Sure. All right. Share the show. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. And
see you, boys.
Oh, she is my dear, my darling one. Her eyes so sparkling, full of fun. No other can match the likes of her. She is my dear, my darling one. My smiling and beguiling one. I love the ground she walks upon. My darling Irish girl.